you need a password.
You can use mine to get on the internet.
Oh, dig it.
Welcome to Badagis, episode 305.5. I'm Blue Feedback Dabadidabadai.
Feedback for Tokyo Devas, part 2.
Recorded March 29th, 2016.
Badagis is your critically nostalgic, analytical tour through the Digimon anime. I'm Ashley McDonald, and I'm joined by...
This is how it goes. You're supposed to say my name, and then I'm supposed to react.
Oh, yeah.
I don't have a reaction, though, so... That's my reaction. There, we did it.
You're so Jeff Ruberg.
Moving on to the first segment, Digimon news... there's been lots of news since we recorded our last feedback episode, I don't know, probably a month ago or so. I don't remember. Hard to remember. Oh, I guess we should first off just explain the fact that Ash and Andrew aren't here. Scheduling difficulties, we're kind of in a weird flux state between going to try stuff and moving back into Tamer stuff, and it was just hard to schedule. And
and we're recording at midnight, which means it's 3 a.m. for them, so...
Yeah. So yeah, they'll be back on feedback episodes in the future, and yeah... So Digimon news, since we record, I think I remember looking through my notes in the last episode, I was complaining Cyber Sleuth had been out, but it, you know, hadn't really been covered by any mainstream publications yet. And since then, it took a couple weeks, but it's been covered by some pretty mainstream gaming sites like Polygon, Gotaku, Destructoid, and Shonen Jump by a particular writer.
I don't know who that would be.
Not me, totally not me. they got generally positive reviews. Scores generally are like out of 7.5 out of 10 or 75 out of 100 or so on Metacritic. And that's pretty nice. I think that's a reasonable score for a good but unpolished game.
And yeah.
Yeah. Listening, you can listen to Polygon's Quality Control podcast to hear the reviewer talk about it in a kind of candid, or I mean, uncandid. No, candid is when you're natural, right? Is this candid or uncandid? Is uncandid a word? Candid is the word I'm going for.
I don't think uncandid is not a word.
Okay, so you can hear her speak candid about it. And yeah, she's like, even to me, 7.5 sounds like a kind of low score, but she's very positive about it. Anyway, Try has happened. Try Chapter 2 came out. We got a poster for Chapter 3, and Chapter 3 is not coming out until September, which, you know.
So we're all crying.
Yes, we're all crying. And Digimon World Next Order came out at the time of this recording about 2 weeks ago. And the reactions I've seen from Digimon... from the Japanese fandom or the English fandom that can speak Japanese is generally really positive. I don't think Digimon World games are particularly for me. I haven't actually played any. You've played the PS1 games. I thought I had until I realized that Digimon World DS was actually a Digimon story game. But
that's just confusing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the frustration is that it's not just playing a Digimon World game. If it were in English, I'd probably play it if it comes out in English. If you're listening, Bandai Namco released in English. But... the fact is that it's in Japanese and doesn't have furigana, so it's actually really hard for me to look up characters. Bringing me on to the next subject, which is Digimon Links, which came out in the past week, a mobile game for iOS and Android in Japanese, just in Japanese for now. And that's actually, I've been playing it, and it's actually much harder for me than if I were playing Next Word on Vita, because the phone is what I use to look up kanji. And doing that while switching apps is really hard.
You should learn more Japanese, Jeffrey. Like, learn it faster. Get with it.
I think there was one piece of terminology I learned from the VPET, and then like that week I learned it. It's like the vocab I was studying for my Japanese class, and I was like, oh yeah, Shio documents. Anyway, so that's Digimon News. Digimon Links, I really like it. I mean, it's kind of what you expect from a free-to-play mobile game with in-app purchases and stuff.
Do you accidentally in-app purchase things?
No, I haven't bought anything. but it's, so far, I think it's been like, almost a week, so we'll see how if it's scripting to stay for a while, but it's been pretty cool so far. And there are a couple guides you can find resources for if you don't know any Japanese, so it's possible to play without that, but probably pretty difficult. And the last bit of like news is just that it'll probably be pretty evident that we're doing some changes with the feedback episode format. Not mostly permanently, but not having Ash and Andrew is not one of them, so like, that's kind of confusing. We're cutting some segments that we're basically trying to merge segments and not have like a long list of segments. It felt like when we were doing, it took a lot more time to prep, and it meant that like getting through the feedback episode instead of, you know, having fun talking about stuff. And so we're still going to cover the same, like a lot of the same stuff, just not in a as structured of a like list format. So things like the, explicitly calling out listener RDD and listener unanswered questions. Like, we're still going to do if they're really good ones that we see people mentioning in the comments, but we're not going to like dedicate sections to those anymore in the feedback episode.
I want to talk to more of you.
Yeah.
That's the goal.
I think a common
end goal is positive.
I think a common piece of feedback we got was that they wish we spent more of the time talking about comments and question and answer stuff. And it's like, by the time we would record, we would be like, we would have spent like 40 or 50 minutes just getting through all the other stuff and then be like, okay, well, now we have like 2 minutes for comments, you know, like that always felt kind of crappy. And so, I mean, there is an angle that sounds kind of negative. It's like, oh, we're cutting things and cutting things people really like doing. But you can still do those things if you really enjoyed sending us your unanswered questions, then still do it. I mean, it can still be fun for you to do it. And we'll still, if there are ones that we're still going to read all those and stuff, like, so we're still encouraging you to do it. Yeah. But
I enjoyed reading ones that I'm like, when did this even happen in the episode? I don't even remember this. I miss this.
Yep. So hopefully it makes for a more entertaining podcast. And yeah. So Ashley, who are the new iTunes reviewers since our last feedback episode?
New iTunes reviewers are Sky Salingfan, Helen S., Hope of the Flame, Lil 12 Ichi, Martha of 1995, Beelzemon's Pex, that's a great name.
That's a very good name.
Kiriha Aonuma, and Jogproof.
I also want to, Beelzemon's Pex has great name. We should pick a winner of like the favorite name.
Well, it's definitely Beelzemon's Pex.
but also the one for the Martha F 1995 is probably Martha F 1995, but I like to think it's like Marth as.
I think I read it as of. I'm sorry. I don't know what happened.
No, but I like to think it's like, you know, like AF. You know, like, yeah. I don't want to swear because we're, you know, supposed to be a clean lyrics podcast, whatever.
Yeah.
But like, it's like Martha as F, you know. Should I find it funny?
Yeah, Martha F, 1995. It's totally what
like, I mean, like Marth, like Fire Emblem.
Yeah.
Martha's F.
Or that. I mean, it's one of them.
And so now we have a Transgarbled group. Now we have a Transgarbled review from Grace of Aeons in the UK. And Ashley, what was the initial review?
Initial review was, great start to the season. Glad you guys are back. I see the point of Ashley and Asher's view on the whole Kari trying to pick up the egg, but when I heard TK say, too bad we don't have a woman around, I thought it was more so a comment on Kari's age and not her gender. But I see you guys' view. Keep the podcast coming. Smiley face.
I guess we should explain this review is from around the time we just came back for season two, which looking at the timeline of things is like, I felt like it was a big gap in season one, season two, but like we were starting season two, like only, you know, like 7 or so months after we had launched the podcast. But anyway, so yeah, this is right when we started season two and we're talking about the scenario of Davis lifting the Digi Egg of Courage, whatever, and all of that. But yeah, it's so long ago, I kind of forgot about the whole discussion.
I never forget this discussion.
So now when we transgarbled it, and I have to actually do the transcoding manually nowadays because the services don't work anymore. So I have to actually like copy and paste back and forth between the different
whatever,
services.
Nobody cares. Just read them.
Okay. So the title went from great start to the season. Now the new title is In the Beginning? ? I like things religious. You know, it's like
In the Beginning.
It's Genesis. Yeah. I am you guys again happy. I have your Ashley. You, please refer to all of Usher point of view that you are trying to pick up the eggs of Callie. However, if I you do, I will say to you, on it that he does not have, he is there for me who had the compassion.
Okay, that sounds religious.
Okay. You know, I feel like that is a little bit artificial because mostly what I've been doing, the other thing we're using was like just translating randomly between 46 different languages. What I've been doing now is more of going back and forth from Japanese and Latin. So I think going between Latin introduces things that sound religious. Anyway, so then continues. I think it's such a fiction, I think, a few years ago, and in this way, I think that it is not wet at all. But I am who the opinion that love. One square Q, smiley face.
I am who the opinion that love.
I also just like the idea that like
one square Q.
I thought it was more so a comment on Kari's age and not her gender. Transformed into, I think it's such a fiction, I think, a few years ago, and in this way, I think that it is not wet at all. Where does wetness come from?
Like, I don't know. It doesn't matter.
Like, at one point, it translated Kari into Callie. The Eggs of Kali.
The Eggs of Kali. That also sounds religious.
Yeah. The Eggs of... No, think of the California, the way people...
Nobody in California says Kali.
A lot of people outside of California say Kali. yeah, transcribable reviews are fun. And so what were the rejected titles for episode 305? What do we actually call it? We called it Ambulukar Dabadi Dabadi.
Which is great. We rejected Date with the Devas, Digital Love, Believe in the Me That Believes in Blue.
I really wanted that one. Digital I was really And what was the last one?
Digital Blue Tea.
I really wanted Believe in the Me That Believes in Blue. Like, I'm not even that big of a fan of
Gurren Lagann. I mean, it had two song references. I feel like they had to win out.
What was the other one?
Digital Love is a Daft Punk song.
Sure it is.
Wow.
I believe you.
It's like my favorite Daft Punk song, but fine.
And the results of the Ridiculous Dialogue Draft poll, which didn't get much love last episode. I think that there was a lot of confusion, not confusion, but like we shuffled, like released the episode like I think 2 or 3 days before Tri came out. So like things didn't get like as much attention as other stuff, but that makes sense. And I also never got around to making the images.
Oh, you failed.
I'm just not stalling. I'm trying to make excuses for, yes, Ashley's was the only, like, it only got like any sizable number of votes at all.
Yes.
Won the landslide. And
I don't remember what my picks were, but obviously they were amazing, so.
Well, it was really just the one pick. It was this one.
Kazi says,
yeah. He seems weird enough to be one of your friends.
He's speaking to Takato. Takato says,
you know, you're one of my friends.
So good. Yeah, Kazi fell right into it.
You know, it's like when you pick this, it's not like you invented it, you know? Like, you got the credit. But
I have great picking skills.
And now the results of the Potages Fantasy Draft, which is a way for you to, in each episode, we pick our favorite Digimon, our MVDs, or actually not Digimon, our favorite Digimon or Digidestin, so MVD, most valuable Digimon, Digidestin. And then you get to pick a team of a human and a Digimon, and if those end up being the ones that we have picked as our MVDs, then you get the point. So for a while, for the whole season, we've been saying there's some nebulous reward for whoever wins, whoever has the most points in the season. But now we're ready to finally announce what that is. So it's exciting. So we are going to, whoever wins at the end of the season is going to get the DVD box set of the Digimon Tamers dub and the, what is it called? The Tai Chi and Agumon gem figure, the one where Tai is kind of raising his arms and Agumon's. I don't remember exactly the layout, but we'll have
season one Tai.
Yes, Tai Chi. There's no other Tai Chi. There's no other Tai.
What?
Anyway.
Oh, Tri Tai.
Oh, there's a Tri and there's a Tai. Okay, sure. yeah, so we'll link to those in the show notes if you're not sure exactly what we're referring to. But yeah, it's like an almost $80 value, and so we're really excited about it. And the other thing that we're announcing for the fantasy draft is before you had to enter by going in the forum, and it seemed like there wasn't much activity there, I think, because there's a kind of high threshold. You have to go there and think very carefully about your pick and stuff. So we're introducing two changes along with that. Before, when it was in the forum, it was designed so that you couldn't pick the same team as anyone else. And the human and Digimon pair you pick, that's, no one else can pick that. But now we're going to move to, we're still going to have the forum post, but you can also submit, we're also going to do a call on social media. So yeah, you can submit on social media and hope it, and because of that, there's no way for you to actually check if the thing you've picking has already been chosen for. So we're removing the, duplication thing anymore. So you can submit any combination of human and Digimon. And yeah, and then we'll hopefully more people will be involved and they're still trying to catch up. So the person in first place now has 8 points, but it's still possible to catch up to that. I mean, we've had 5 episodes. This is the fifth round that's closing, and their first and third place has 5 points. It's still very possible to catch up if you start now, if you haven't participated before. So that'll be fine for now on. So, okay. So who won for round 3 or 5? The MVDs we picked. I picked Impmon and everyone else picked Renamon. So
yes.
Almost no one actually picked Renamon, though, which is kind of sad. A lot of people picked Impmon, suspected I would pick Impmon. Only one person picked Renamon, and so that was Riga's my favorite. They got 3 points just for picking Renamon. So yeah, you can totally catch up through quirks like this, and...
Because, remember, Asher and I are the same person, except I'm not going to pick Henry or Terry.
Asher constantly talks about how you're the opposite people.
You know? You gotta predict it. You gotta...
And so now we also, in addition to the points we award based on the... MVDs, we also pick We also give a point to the most incongruous team and the team we want to exist the most. I think my incongruous team, I want to say Takato and Impmon, because that just seems...
Well, I'm leaning towards Mr. Wong and Impmon, because, like, Impmon attacked him in these episodes.
They would get over it.
Really?
Takato and Impmon just, like... Mr. Wong and Impmon are just too far apart, and you're like, they're just, like... Like, Takato and Impmon, it's like... Like, Takato trying
to... I feel like Takato has shown kindness toward... That picnic episode is forever going to ruin my image of both of them.
Okay. Like, Mr. Wong and Impmon just have so little interaction, and it's like, yeah, they're incongruous because they just, like, had one interaction that's all
they had
ever
one
have.
Interaction in which one of them tried to, like, kill the other.
No, but it's incongruous in the fact that it's like, yeah, they're in totally different realms. Like, I feel like that's cheating. Not cheating, but it's just not...
That's not cheating.
They're not, like, incongruous in an interesting way. They're incongruous in a, like, they don't overlap at all, and when they do, it was one scene where, like, there was a flame thrown.
You know, I refuse to.
If we can't come to a consensus, then we award a point to both of them. So,
all right, fine.
Okay, so Erdemon gets a point for Takato and Impmon, and Emoto gets a point for Mr. Wong and Impmon. And then we also award a point for most team we want to exist the most. I don't really want any of these teams to exist.
I would actually love to see Henry and Renamon.
I think I would like to see Kazu and Impmon. Just because, like, both of them are kind of like. They're both kind of out there in different ways. I want to see how they would interact.
I just feel like Impmon would, like, own Kazu.
It's a mutual relationship, and how would they grow together?
I don't think they would.
I guess Henry and Renamon are both, like, aloof in different ways, almost.
Yeah, I would love to see how that turned out.
I'll begrudgingly see to you and award that to Henry and Renamon. So.
I mean Henry and Renamon.
Yes, Henry and Renamon. So, yeah, hopefully more people participate in the future, and I think this is a fun aspect of the podcast, and hopefully making it easier to enter.
So, to be clear, because my favorite, you're in the lead.
Oh, I guess we should.
I don't think we said that.
Okay. Yeah, and so next we have one voicemail for our question of the week, which was, what do people think about the use of Digimodify cards? And so it is from May, from Lost in Translation one. And here is her voicemail.
So I think that the Digimodify cards are really, really useful because you can just use any card that's in the Digimon Hyper Colosseum card game to power up your Digimon. You can, if say you're against a Dragon-type Digimon, you can just use War Greymon and get the Dramon Killer from his arm. So, you know, you get that type advantage. And I really always liked the D-Power that had that functionality because no other Digivice really has that power-up feature, and it really also brings the tamer into the battle as well, instead of just, you know, standing there while the Digimon fights.
See, May mentioning, like, legitimate, actual, useful strategy just makes me, like, frustrated with the concept in general, because it's like, the kids don't do that.
The kids don't do that. Now it's making me question, like, in the card game, there would be, you know, rules for how you could apply the cards. Like, but the show doesn't discuss that. They're just like, I just have this deck of cards, and I pulled out things randomly and, like, through.
There was some kind of modifications. You know, like, it's not like you just, like, pull out the War Greymon card, and now Gilmon's War Greymon.
No, but I assume the modification cards have, like...
Yeah, some, like, you know, there's some limitation.
Yeah,
I assume you can't just... Well, I don't know, maybe you can just put them all down. It's more a matter of, like, the restriction is how much you can draw. But, yeah, there probably are restrictions or mechanics or something involved that is not relevant to the modifications. Yeah.
It's a good concept. Not fully realized.
It also just seems like you, in the card game, you have Digimon cards, which I guess are just useless for, like, so, like, managing this would be a pain because you'd be like, well, I have to just, like, you know, these Digimon cards are just totally useless. I have to just use these modify cards, like...
Sounds like a minor point, but okay.
And so now moving on to comments. These are mostly from our forum. The first one I want to talk about, actually, I think came from the comment section for last feedback episode, for 304.5. And I think we, in the Q&A section, discussed a question that was asking us what crest we would choose for ourselves. And Ashley hesitated. I just didn't even come with an answer, I don't think. But Ashley, you were like, if there were a Crest of Loyalty, I think that's what I'd go for, or something like that. And Emramoto wrote in saying,
I said if I fused to, I forget which two. It was like friendship and something else.
Friendship and like liability?
Yeah, I don't know.
But yeah. So Emeramoto wrote in mentioning that something that we didn't know about, that like apparently loyalty is a common fan created crest assigned to Ryo, which is interesting in light of how Ryo is going to enter the story soon. And yeah, I didn't know that. I especially don't know enough of Ryo's characteristics to. I've mostly forgotten a lot of his stuff from the season.
I remember liking Ryo as a child.
That makes sense. Because it's like, I think there's not much, my recollection is there's not much character. And there's a lot of just like, he's cool.
Yeah.
but there's a lot more characterization in the WonderSwan games. And from what I recall reading those summaries, it's basically like his story is, you know, being called on over and over to save everyone and being, yeah. So I guess like, I can see how Lily fits into that. And the biggest contention point from that like saga is how he is called to do things and lied to about what he's doing. And I can see how like loyalty is an interesting angle just been on that. So next comment, also from Emeramoto, in this was, you know, going back to 305, and they just mentioned a point that I found interesting, I hadn't really considered before, that they're discussing a theory that Konaka was basically given mandates for blending in the other elements of the Digimon franchise into the series, which I couldn't find any evidence for, and Emeramoto mentioned that they first heard about it in Jacob Hope Chapman's reviews of, or retrospectives of Tamers from several years ago, and that he mentioned it was from Kanaka's website. So I'm not sure where this information comes from. It's kind of irrelevant at this point. Like, having all the sources, I'm not sure if it's true. But anyway, the point that I find interesting was just that they say, Henry gets Terrybon through the video game, Miku gets Renamon by being the best in the card game, and Takato, while he does create Digimon, the way his Digimon is able to manifest in the real world is through a Digivice, which is basically a VPET. And that's something like it had been kind of in my mind for all like, it's kind of weird. They're all asymmetrical and like their backstories are like totally just kind of random. But then like this puts an interesting lens on that asymmetry and is like, and I think the VPET connection is the most tenuous because it's like,
yeah.
Like Takato actually scans a card and it's like the thing that it is before it becomes a Digivice is a card game accessory.
Yeah. They like never really show the VPET.
But it is very similar to VPET in that like he gets a thing and like has an egg on it and he like tracks it down and like
is and through the Digivice. He also gets the shape of the Digivice is also like VPET thing.
Right. It does seem like they maybe could have, you know, like if this were the like a really important aspect they were going for, they could have, you know, written his origin to have been through a VPET. Like it is going to be, they don't really show VPETs in this universe.
Yeah.
But anyway, I mean, even if the VPET is the most tenuous connection, like, you know, showing the need to, like, hammer in the video game and card game through the different introductions. It's an interesting way of looking at it. And another comment I wanted to point out, which came from Psychic Echo, and it was in response to our discussion about, because we had, like, an epic gender rant in the last episode.
Epic gender.
And one of the topics we came across was, I think it was mainly you were spearheading about how Rika, the way that she's kind of teased for showing emotion puts her in Catch-22, where she like she starts off not showing emotion, and if she ever opens up and shows more emotion, she's just teased for it, which then feels bad. And I think it's specifically in regards to a scene where Rika expresses concern for Inmon, and Henry is like, "Oh, look at you! Like, didn't they expect that?" Or something a little bit teasing.
Yeah, you do have a heart.
Yeah, I think that was the line. Psychic Echo mentions, I feel like Henry teasing Rika comes more from a familiarity and friendliness with Rika, more than trying to belittle her and make her embarrassed by showing her emotions. But I can see where it can be seen as that. And so I just wanted to mention this because I think the important note here is that I, on some level, fundamentally agree. I think Henry, you know, his, that kind of comment does come from a place of familiarity and friendliness, but the way that that's perceived by the person who gets that, like by Rika in that situation, like it is both coming from a place of familiarity and friendliness, while also, from Rika's perspective, belittling and making her embarrassed. Belittling her and making her embarrassed. So I don't think it's a matter of like, is it good intent? It does have good intentions or bad intentions, because it can have the good intentions and still be detrimental and frustrating to the quote unquote victim. It's really, no, victim seems like an exaggeration, but yeah, like.
Right. I would say that like Rika's not on that level yet.
On level what?
On like Henry's level.
don't follow you.
Like, they have very different personalities, so if it makes sense from Henry's perspective, that's what friends do. But, like, from Rika's perspective, she's like, ah, and we, like, what are you doing? Then, like, she's not on his level.
So you're saying, like, what Henry considers teasing is not what Rika considers teasing, so, like, you know, like, it could be, it, there's a difference in how that would be interpreted between the two of them?
Sure. I think I meant more what Henry perceives as something very friendly and innocuous, Rika would not perceive as such.
Well, I mean, I guess there's, like, the situation of, like, kind of, like, teasing people for showing emotion is a common situation. Like, so, like, the way that manifests in the real world, often people are on different wavelengths in that regard. You know, like,
right.
So I feel like, yeah, when people tease you for this, I feel like they are thinking, like, oh, this is just, like, affectionate, and, like, this is totally just a thing people do, and, like, they don't realize that it has a harmful...
Or, you have to be, like, whatever. Best friends. And Henry and Rika just are not best friends yet.
Even that can still be a little belittling.
I mean, yeah, but, like, you can get away with it more then.
Yeah. Do you have another comment?
I wanted to acknowledge Dragonheart's thing where it's like about the gender discussion, about how in Japanese it comes off as much less like the show isn't on Rika's side because a lot of the microaggressions are just silent scenes. And I'm like, okay, that's cool. I mean, it doesn't invalidate that like the English dub is not on Rika's side.
Yeah.
Good on you, Japanese.
So another big thread to the conversations for our last episode was about shipping, which kind of caught us up there because like, a common sentiment was like, why hasn't shipping come up before? And to both me and Ashley, we were kind of like, huh, shipping? I forgot that existed for 10 years. Like, but I thought,
aside from like Jerry and Takato, like.
Yeah. And some valid points that like, it's probably going to come up in a big way once we get to Rio.
Well.
But yeah, I mean, we're saving this for like a full blown session for when we have Asher in the room, who probably has thoughts about shipping, or if he doesn't have thoughts about shipping for Tamers, I think that's interesting to hear because we certainly didn't really have thoughts about shipping. And my perspective at least was like, it feels like my impression is that the show is less, you know, is exposing the kids to fewer situations that would cause discussions of ships to come up than compared to Adventure. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, I think it's also true in Adventure and Zero Two. Like, it feels like the Zero Two kids. Okay, I was gonna say don't have ship. Like, okay, but like, it's all about Davis.
TK, and Curry, yeah.
Never, but like outside of that triangle, it's like so. Oh, there's also
Tai Chi and.
No, I mean like for the main. No. But no, there's also okay. Never mind, because Davis can.
Like Zero Two is like the biggest shipping one.
Yeah. Okay. That's true. I don't know what I was saying. But yeah, it feels like Tamers, like there are fewer situations that make me think about ships. But I mean, like, so much of the way we think about the media is informed by how we have heard discussions in the past and the way fandom reacts to it. So I'm wondering if that's actually true, or if it's just that there's less talk about shipping in Tamers. Very possibly just because fewer people talk about Tamers, because it's less popular in the Digimon fandom than Adventure and Zero Two. So, like, it may be that I'm just, like, looking at it from an angle, just seeing fewer... The same stuff's there, I'm just seeing less of it.
No. I don't think that's true. Like, I think the only real female, like, characters that we have cared about who are female in this show have been, like, Jerry, Rika, and, like, Riley, and what's-her-face. And, like, you don't get any romantic vibes, or at least I don't, from, like, Riley and Yamaki. You don't get, like...
Do you know that they're dating, Ashley?
What?
This is not a detail that's been revealed at this point in the series, but yeah, they're dating.
But they don't have any romantic, like, there's no scene where it's, like...
I mean, there's actually a negative. There's, like, a scene we've got, I forget when it was, but something that, like, implies that she is dating other people or something that is never really reconciled. If it's a more open relationship.
Well, this just sounds like a terrible relationship.
It's very possible the dubbers. Very possible the dubbers didn't know that because I forget how much later it's revealed. But no, I think a major factor is also just like there are fewer characters, so there are fewer of these like interactions.
Know. It's just the only ones that they've even set up are like again Jerry and Takato. Like I don't get any romantic vibes between Rika and anybody except Anemon.
I feel like there's a certain sense that I can't really quantify that while Tamers in a lot of sense feels quote unquote more mature, that the kids feel younger. Even though they're tackling more complex issues and stuff, like but like the kids feel younger, and I don't know. There's Zero Two, I think, definitely makes the Zero Two kids look older than the Adventure kids did, even though they are the same age or whatever. I think it's like even if they're drawn similar to the Adventure kids, they are just like the season, like how they're drawn in season one, like showing them in school in like clearly elementary school and stuff. Like,
I will say, I think you are taking this in a weird direction, and it is mostly that like we get a lot of scenes of like Kazu, Kenta, Jerry, Takato, like playing with Giyomon in a park, and like they all play a card game, and like they're just generally much more compared to like
I mean they're shown doing things that kids do.
Yeah,
I think it gives a sense more of them being kids. Anyway, this is all just a long way to say that like shipping isn't something that occurred to us. I guess I don't want this to come off as saying like, whoa, it's bad and wrong because they're more childish. No, I mean, we're just saying like why it didn't really occur to us. And
I find it refreshing. Like, so, I find it like, cause it's refreshing. It's like a good gender point where it's like boys and girls can just be friends. And like,
you find it refreshing. Okay. So you don't find the shipping refreshing. You find it refreshing that it feels less, there is less evident shipping. Like there is less shipping fodder. I was talking about shipping in general, and then you're like, I find it refreshing. And I'm like, wait, so you're finding the shipping refreshing?
You're finding the lack of shipping refreshing.
Yes. I guess what you find refreshing is like, it's deeper, like, it's not as evident, it's not all it's on the surface. Which isn't necessarily to say, like, it's bad to go below the surface.
Again, I find it refreshing because it is like, boys and girls can just be friends, and there doesn't have to be romantic tension between all the peeps.
I think it ultimately matters how much of a lens you look into things. I think, you know, not being deeply involved in the fandom, you can watch Adventure and not really get much of a romantic vibe from most of the pairings. Like, maybe you get something from Tai saving Sora in, like, one thing in the middle of the season. But, like, outside of that, like, I feel like...
I mean, I agree you could... If you just watched Adventure, you could get away with it.
Oh, yeah, like, Zero Two.
But, totally, like, once you go to Zero Two, it's just, like...
I mean, yeah, because, like, there's explicit talk of relationships and stuff, so, yeah. I guess we're just coming off of Adventure where it's, like, that stuff is so visible on the surface that it is... Because I feel like in most seasons, it's probably about this level of below the surface. Now I just keep thinking of this as a zit. It's, like, in my head, mentally thinking of shipping as a zit and, like, where it sits in the surface.
Okay. Well, that's gross, but...
Like, I'm just thinking of, like, Frontier, Savers, Cross Wars, Fusion, like... I feel like I can't think of shipping as blatant as Adventure and Zero Two. Maybe that's another reason why those have like stuck in the fandom for so long and so much more than the other seasons is
because more blatant shipping fodder.
Or it just gives that extra level of, like, that extra way of engagement.
I mean, I'm all about shipping and I understand its addictiveness. Being a YA fan, it's just like, I get it.
But yeah, so in conclusion, I think we're going to have a larger shipping discussion with Asher, possibly in the main show when we get to Rio. I think we're going to do like a call on social media stuff to like ask what people's favorite ships are for Tamers, because like it's not really stuff that at least Ashley and I have really like a lot of the pairings we haven't thought about. There were some interesting ones mentioned in the thread, like Henry and Rio.
Yeah, okay. See, I'm also, maybe this is a lack of creativity on my own part, but I often do not like to go against like canonical ships. Like, I usually end up liking whatever is supposed to be canonical or hating it.
Yeah, I mean, I think those often make a lot of sense because they are the ones that have the most writing effort put into developing those relationships. I think I usually fall on that too. And I think I at least definitely blame myself for lack of creativity. The last thread discussion I want to talk about was I want to talk about is about who the rival is in Tamers. And if you're somehow listening to the podcast, not really aware that there's this trend in Digimon seasons to have a, like, you know, the goggle-headed protagonist and a rival. And there's lots of like fan art and stuff that kind of sets up this economy. I mean, so it makes sense for things like, you know, Adventure. Actually, there isn't really a clear one for Zero Two. So it's, what do they do for Zero Two? No, it's Ken. What am I talking about? It's definitely like, Ken. Although he's not quite a rival. I guess it's not so much a rival, but like a second in command. Yeah. I'm phrasing
this wrong. TK is romantic rival.
But no, I set this up. I framed it pretty incorrectly. What I mean is a leader and a second in command, or I think a lot of times referred to as the Lancer. And yeah, so lots of fan art, like shows like the leaders and second in commands or whatever. And I think Tamers is the one that like breaks that formula the most. Cause it's like, anyway, I guess we were just talking about it because we were like, you know, it seems a little bit sexist that like Rika is set up to be the one who is more primed for that position, but there is no quote unquote Lancer that is female. So like is more often given to Henry. So if you look up like fan art that includes each of the Lancers, then usually it's Henry. Actually, not usually. The only stuff I've seen is like Henry. You know, it'll be like Matt, Ken, Henry, Koji. I don't know who they use for crosswords. Anyway, I skipped over Thomas / Toma or whatever. Anyway, so yeah. So anyway, that's also just a frame what we were talking about before. And so Hiyalori said this talking about Rika. She is the Matt. She is the rival in so many ways. She is the lone wolf, like Matt, Ken, Koji, and Kira. The most experienced one, like Thomas, Kiriha, and Ryoma, and kind of Ken. Blue, Matt, Koji, Thomas, Kiriha, and canine partner, Matt, Thomas, Koji, kinda, and Ryoma. And like every other rival, she starts not being part of the team, but then she joins. Is she a proper rival to Takato? No. Maybe only personality-wise, but she keeps that place in the show. We always stand for this because people tend to ignore her for being a girl and place Henry as the rival. Where, in what kind of alternate universe, Henry is the rival? There was also some contention about like, the canine. I don't want to, you know, like, I don't think that's like the crux of the argument. But what were you going to say?
I just feel like the show makes it pretty clear that it wants Henry to be the rival still.
Really? I feel like the show makes it clear that like there is no like leader and second in command rival, okay. Whatever.
I mean, I guess that's mostly true, but it's also like, but also if there is, you know that it's Takato and Henry.
I guess I feel like the only thing that makes that hand clear is the CGI ultimate devolution. Which like, and also the like Takato
is
a.
This is why this is very confusing. Because if we're talking like rival, yes, I would say Rika is a rival. If we're talking exclusively like second in command, then I think there are plenty of scenes that set up Takato and Henry to be like.
But like it's only because like there is no leader. Like there's no. It's not like Takato is the leader and Takato second in command, or Henry second in command. It's more that like. They're all kind of somewhat equals, and Henry is closer to Takato. So, like, if you're imagining Takato as being the, like, top of the triangle, then, like, yeah, he's going to be closer to Henry, but, like, I don't think that triangle has one person who's clearly on top. Anyway, but the other point I wanted to bring up is just that, like, it's not... Psychic Echo had a point that I thought was interesting, that, like, if there's any clear rivalry, it's mostly, like, the more one that's closer to the Matt and Ty rivalry is between Henry and Rika. Those are the ones that, they're the two that have been shown to be diametrically opposed philosophically. And so, like, I feel like it doesn't fit the mold in the same way the other seasons do. And I don't know. I feel like it's interesting that the way people try and fit it into the mold usually ends up with Henry in the position. But yeah, I just don't understand why they would use CGI Digivolution for Rapidmon. Like, why do they do it? Like, why? It just would have made more sense if you just Takato. Like, I just...
Well, because you can't just be like, well, I discard this evidence. Like, they're weird for doing it. Like, I think there's clear evidence that they're like, well, this
but is
the
such
thing
a minor detail
like,
in the scheme of, like, it matters so much less than, like, writing. And the writing all points to there not really being one.
You don't buy this.
I mean, I think what remains to be seen how, like, once they actually go to the digital world and stuff and, like, form a party and, like, have a banner and stuff, like, who takes charge and leads in that situation.
Isn't Rika on the bottom of the banner?
I don't remember. I mean, she was mad about her portrayal. It's picking up everything. So we're not going to do an Ask Cloud Just segment this time because we don't have the full cast. But yes, if you want to send us questions to answer in future episodes, you should totally do that. Just send it to us on whatever way, anywhere on like too many social media accounts. and recommendation articulation. I have too many things to recommend, so I'm going to say something. I want to recommend Cool Games Inc., which is a new-ish podcast from Polygon, but the fact that it's from Polygon really doesn't matter at all. Who is it? It's one of the McElroy brothers from My Brother and Me. I don't remember which one because they all just blur together in my mind. And, one of the people who used to be one of the hosts of Red Food Games. But anyway, I think both were at Polygon. Who cares? Anyway, they basically just, it's like a, improv. It's really hard to explain. They basically fake prototype a game that they pretend to make, and you know, like they get ridiculous ideas from Twitter, and then they're like, okay, we're gonna make this ridiculous game, and then you know, then next week they're like, okay, well, how did this game that we made sell? And they're like, okay, you know, well, actually, it was just a .jpg file, so no one bought it, and or like, their latest episode, you know, they developed a massively, they quote-unquote developed, which is a developing idea, of a massively multiplayer game that is just reenacting Austin Powers 24/7, which they would have massive multiplayer of 12 players, and they would only make 12 copies, and it's interesting. It's a good podcast. It's funny. It's hard to explain why something's funny, but yes. Do you have something you want to, do you have a recommendation you want to articulation, actually?
No. I feel like I actually did at the beginning of this podcast, and now I can't remember what it was.
You need to keep a list so you know what you've...
I feel like we said it somewhere in this episode, and now I just...
What? You just, like, lost it in the middle of the episode?
Yeah.
Like, you just... In the middle of the sentence, you're
I
like...
I have a cold.
Yes. I have a very long list of things to recommend. I'm slowly checking them off. But now on to our outro. And in the wise words of Jaden Smith, when babies are born, their soft spots bump. It has, like, a heartbeat in it. On that note, let us know what you thought about this episode in our comments at podigious.com/305.5, which is also where you can find our show notes.
Podigious is made possible with the support of our awesome Patrimon, Amanda Angebomon, Andre LeDucmon, David Graumon, Eric Angemon, Joe Keto, Jack Santa Agumon, Kailunamon, Sam Kruwagamon, and Stevie Patamon.
If you want to support the show, you can join our private Slack chat group for $1 a month. You can get monthly stickers for $5 a month, and you can get early episodes for $10 a month. We also have a lot more rewards and goals, so check out patreon.com/podigious.
You can find us on Twitter, Tumblr, or Facebook to keep up with the Digimons and get the funny images and GIFs related to the show. We say GIFs because RG is still winning.
And I cut this part out of the thing because it's confusing to explain.
Whatever. There were some soft G boats recently.
Yeah, there were soft G boats, so it's possible to make a, yeah, to make you a comeback. Yeah,
you can come back.
I fundamentally disagree with you, but.
You can find me on Twitter at AshMcGee00. Jeff, I don't care where they can find you.
Definitely Jeff in your heart.
And you can find. And you can find links to all of our accounts at poddigious.com.
All of our, just like, here's our email.
You can just hack
our password.
And you can find links to all of our social media accounts at poddigious.com.
Our Calumna arc is by the awesome Mary Cagle, a.k.a. Cube Watermelon, on Tumblr and Twitter.
Share the podcast with your friends who like Digimon, but also share it with your enemies who like Digimon.
And join us next time as we celebrate Poddigious' second anniversary. Bye.
Bye.
And remember, never stop digivolving. Their soft spots bump. It has, like, a heartbeat in it. I feel like the fact we're taking it out of context makes people assume that, like, it made sense in context.
No, but it didn't. I swear, it didn't.
I actually want to look this up. Because, like, what was the context for that?
I'm sure it still didn't make any sense. What did you do?
Oh, babies. So this is the question they got was, you mentioned breathing earlier, and it's also an idea that recurs in your songs. And Willow says, breathing is meditation. Life is a meditation. You have to breathe in order to live. So breathing is how you get in touch with the sacred space of your heart. And then Jaden replies, when babies are born, their soft spots bump. It has like a heartbeat in it. That's because energy is coming through their body up and down. Willow says, prana energy.
Okay.
See,
I forgot that I thoroughly believe that not only were Willow and Jaden, like, trolling this interviewer, but he was just, like, trolling them back. He was just like, I'm just going to ask you a ridiculous question. You mentioned breathing earlier, and it's also an idea that recurs in your songs. Like, what? Okay.
I guess I felt bad about, like, making fun of the full context of, like, the prana energy, because it's just, like, a concept I know nothing about. And without knowing anything about it, it sounds like ridiculous absurdity, but I'm sure there is actually a cultural context that I'm ignorant of.
Just taking, you mentioned breathing earlier, then the first two responses, I'm just like, you're all trolling each other.
Yeah. That's one weird troll. I also feel weird about this, because, like, in the times in this interview came out, like, well, Jaden has like, you know, been very interestingly, like, fashion. I don't know, like, he's been setting, like, an example of, like, like wearing traditionally feminine clothes and just like modeling for like female brands and stuff.
What
and
he's been doing
is really cool. If you know, like, even if he's not genderqueer, like just like providing a role model for that kind of thing is really awesome. And
I feel like I've seen think pieces on how like any other parent would be ashamed of these children, right. though.
Like, but like, yeah, I feel bad that like this stuff, this like their thoughts are just ridiculous.
Yeah,
is mixed into like, why would you let your son wear a skirt? Like, that's like, I'm like, I feel like we're laughing at slash with them. Like, I feel like they must think this stuff is ridiculous too. I don't know.
just don't know.
But that's a long thing. It's going to be cut out of the podcast. So we have like inconsistent dub naming in our Patreon names that we've come up with.
Wait, what?
Like we have Andrew the Dukemon instead of Andrew the Gallimon.
Well, that's because his name.
I know.
You know, I can only work kids so far into this.